Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
So we're going to open this treasure chest. As I've said before, it's the only book on the planet that promises every time you open it, the author will turn up. He's here right now. And he's going to come and he's going to reveal himself to us and help us. And so we're going to pray and then we're going to dive into Acts chapter 2, the last few verses. So if you've got your Bible there, if you've got your device here on your iPhone or your eyelid, wherever you've upgraded, just get ready. Acts chapter 2. So Father, you are here. We welcome you. Thank you, Holy Spirit's going to help us see and live what's here before us. So Lord, do what only you can do in our hearts, in our communities, in our families, we pray. And we all agreed and said, amen. When Jesus was asked, what was the greatest commandment? They weren't really inquiring. They were trying to trick him and trap him. They said, what's the greatest commandment? Because you see, humanity has an incredible capacity to take the simple and make it profound. We have the amazing capacity to make more rules and laws for this and that to somehow control each other. And the Ten Commandments that were given to Moses, you just give it time. And the Pharisees had worked on it and it had turned into over 630 rules and regulations. It's what people do. And so now that same group, the Pharisees, are there and they said, so Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And his response was so profound that all three of the synoptic writers of the gospel, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, record this word for word. He said, I'll tell you what the greatest commandment is. You should love the Lord your God, your invisible God, with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And then he said, and the second one's really important. It's almost as important as the first. Love your invisible God with everything and love your neighbor, your visible neighbor, with as much passion and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Wow. And then John, the writer of John's gospel and the writer of 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation, the one who tells us regularly in scripture that he was Jesus' favorite. Good on you, Johnny. He distills Jesus' profound answer even further in 1 John 4, verse 20. He said, whoever claims to love God, I want you to catch this. This is such, for me, this is one of those moments in scripture. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. There are some moments when you read the scripture, you just got to pause for a minute. Every time I read 1 John and he's really zoning in on this important thing, it's like, wow. You see, we are new covenant people. The old covenant just kept making more and more rules to bind and define and control everything about us. But Jesus came to set us free from all the stuff that binds. He, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Someone in the West shout amen. Come on, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And we are now no longer under an old covenant that binds. We're under a new covenant that sets us free. And as new covenant people, we are invited into new covenant community. New covenant community. It's a whole new way of living. So as I said, we're going to open the Bible to Acts chapter 2. And then as Spirit-filled believers, we love Acts chapter 2 because it narrates the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And we love that so much. But sometimes, however, we miss one of the most significant dynamic consequences that resulted from that outpouring. And from verse 42 right through to the end of that chapter, we see what it is. It's Spirit-filled and Spirit-shaped community. We've been doing at Pneuma Church a series on the church. And today I want to take you to the first mention of New Covenant community. There's a law that actually helps you unpack, crack the code of Scripture. It's called the law of first mention. And whenever something is mentioned for the first time, it's important. And it's particularly laying down some patterns that God wants His people to follow. And so as we come after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it's amazing all the signs and wonders that happen. Peter stands up and he preaches the first message, and the gathering of God's people went from 120 to 3,120 at the back of one sermon. Now they begin to form as a community. And here's the first mention of New Covenant community in the whole of Scripture. We're going to read from verse 42 through to the end in verse 47. It says, and they devoted. Say devoted. Come on in the south, say it loud. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the first mention of the people now forming as a community. It was quite raw and it was quite simple. But I believe the Lord has given us such a clear description back then that even in the 21st century, with all of the changes in society and all the technology, I think there are some kingdom principles that still apply to Jesus' followers today. Can you say amen to that? See, the Holy Spirit was at work. It was a Christ-centered community, and they were devoted. Not only to Jesus. You know, I grew up singing a song in church. He's all I need. Remember that? He's all I need. Oh, we sounded good. We had a little wobble in our voice, which made you sound even more spiritual. He's all I need. You know the only trouble with that song? It's not true. That just rattled a religious cage. If it was true, why did from the very outset of creation God say, let us make man in our image? You see, we were created out of community for community. Why did Jesus distill the 633 laws down to two? Love God, love others. Oh, yeah, yeah. Hey, Jesus has to be Lord of your life. He's the only one that can break sin and shame and guilt. He's the only one that can actually bring us into a place of communion with God and into eternity. But you know what? Along the journey, He wants us to be in community with others that are following Him as well. I get really concerned about solo Christians. Christians that say, oh, you don't need to go to church to be saved. I say, no, you don't. You just need to go to church so you don't get weird and selfish and opinionated. Oh my gosh. No. We need each other. And the Holy Spirit's at work here. And He was forming more than a crowd. He was doing something deeper. He was bringing His people into a life-giving family that outworked the gospel with each other. And there are a few words that summarize those few verses that we just read. And they capture the wonder of the community that I'm describing here. Let me give you them and we're going to unpack them real quick. Number one, devotion. Number two, generosity. Number three, unity. Number four, sincerity. Let's go there for a couple of minutes. Devotion. Verse 42 says, they devoted themselves to a number of things. The apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and to prayer. That word devotion, That word devotion means a strong commitment driven by love. Strong commitment. These people were strongly committed, and they were undergirded by this incredible love for God and each other. Look at what they were committed to. The apostles' teaching. We've got a lot of great resources. We've never been more resource-rich in the Church of Jesus than we are right now. There's podcasts, there's video series, there's the latest message from this church and that. You can get books, you can get all kinds of stuff. And there's some amazing voices in the earth today. But, listen to me, there is a lot to be said about being planted in a local church. And weekly, sitting under the faithful teaching of the Word of God. Some of the men and women that stand and open the Bible may not be as articulate as your favorite podcaster. They might not be as flash, and they might not have as shiny a teeth as somebody that preaches from this incredible place somewhere overseas. But let me tell you something. The men and women that stand in local churches have prayed over the Word, and like a good parent, they know what the family needs in their diet. They know what the family needs, all right? I sat this morning at a coffee shop. By the grace of God, I got in early. There was no fog in Brisbane or Melbourne. And my mate Josh took me to a coffee shop, and he sat me beside this window where they brought out cinnamon buns with icing on them that were so fresh and warm the icing was melting. And I went, ha, ha. I could have eaten three right then, but you know what? It's not good for my diet. And I could actually try to eat one of them for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But you know what? I need more than that in my diet. But some people only jump online to get the warm cinnamon bun because, oh, makes me feel good. Don't talk to me about tithing. Don't talk to me about discipleship. Don't put veggies on the table. Don't put that pumpkin and spinach and stuff. I want the icing on the cinnamon bun. Because I tell you what, that man, that woman online, I check them out every Monday. Oh, I just love it. Yeah, because you lean that way. But you know what? Every good mum and dad knows when you put stuff. I don't like that. No, but you need it. You need it. A good balanced diet. You need the local church because men and women have talked together, prayed together, dived into the Word of God and said, you know what? The family needs a little bit of work on forgiveness. Family needs a little bit of work on the person of the Holy Spirit. Person needs a little bit of work on actually being people who are people of the Word of God. We need a little bit of this, and that we need to motivate them to mission. Yes. No, I don't want to go and do mission. I just want to hear about blessing. I got a blessing. A cinnamon bun with warm icing. Come on. There's some amazing ministries out there. Be blessed by them, and you add that to what you're already getting from your local family table. These people had devoted themselves to the teaching of people that actually labored in the Word for their benefit, for their spiritual health. Thank you, Pastor Wayne, you're helping me. You see, I have this very strong opinion that when we fail to appreciate the Word that's faithfully taught week after week by people that care for us and know what we need in our diet, when we fail to appreciate that, something shifts in our heart. And it doesn't always take us to a great place. They devoted themselves to fellowship. You know, fellowship's more than having some fellows in a ship. It's more than just being in a crowd. Fellowship, the Greek word is koinonia. Or if you put the emphasis on a different syllable, koinonia. It's the Greek word which means partnership, to be actively involved in one another's lives. Wow. That doesn't sound like just rocking up when I feel like it. No. We were hopelessly devoted to each other, koinonia. or to the breaking of bread. There's a lot there. I like the way the NLT puts it in that line. It says that they were devoted to sharing meals, including the Lord's Supper. That's awesome. When was the last time you in one of your small groups actually said, why don't we take communion tonight? We were serving with some people in our life group. Lynn's my life group leader. True story. And we had somebody in our group was going through a difficult time. We said, you know, why don't we just have communion together? Because there's something about just reminding ourselves of the covenant that we're in. And I can't quite define how it happened, but that was the start of a miracle for that person. These people were devoted to that and to prayer. This is more than just personal support. It's coming in agreement for a miracle. Thursday night, every second Thursday night is our life group. We had one in our house last Thursday night, and we're going around the room and said, how can we pray for each other? And this one lady, one of Lynn's closest friends in life, said, oh, I haven't been sharing with you, but I have not slept in so long. I said, why? I said, I've got bursitis, which is pretty serious stuff. She said, I'm in agony. I said, well, how many of us can believe for a miracle? I said, yeah. Laid hands on this lady. Lynn got a text the next morning. She said, that's the best sleep I've had in months. Right there. See. We're going to come to the end of our services, and at the end of this message, I'm going to hand it back to local pastors in different sites, and then we're going to pray for you, and we can believe for that. But you know what? That doesn't only happen on Sundays. It can happen on a Tuesday. It can happen on a Friday when people are in true koinonia, when we're in covenant with each other, when we're standing in agreement with each other. Oh, that's when all kinds of miracles happen 24/7. Can you say amen? Oh, all of this stuff was being expressed in three places. In the temple. The temple was the place of corporate worship. It was happening in the temple courts. That's the place of service and fellowship. And it was happening in houses. I actually believe very much in corporate worship. Less and less are people prioritizing the gathering of God's people together. But there is something that happens when we choose to get together for corporate worship. Can you say amen? Can we at Pneuma Church just say, we're just going to actually prioritize. We were glad when they said, let's go to the house of God. We're going to come ready to participate. But we need more than corporate worship. We need deeper relationships. That's why we need to get into small groups. Can I tell you, your Sunday experience will be enhanced if you commit to a small group in this ministry. You'll have people to sit with. You'll have people to have coffee with afterwards. You'll have people that know what you're going through. Because I love the corporate worship, when hundreds of us gather together. But you know something? One of the biggest problems with humanity right now is loneliness, and crowds don't fix loneliness. Friends do. And that's why we need each other. See, for decades, I have been espousing in the first church I led as a younger guy, and now this church in Hope Center in Brisbane, and now here. I strongly believe in a simple little policy I call 1-1-1. Could you imagine a church? Could you imagine our own discipleship journeys if, ready for this? If we committed to 1-1-1, one corporate gathering per week, aka Sunday, one small group gathering per fortnight, and one place where we serve each other per month. Can you imagine how strong the house would be? Could you imagine how much freeing it would be in our own soul, and how much we just feel like we're actually contributing to community? Just 1-1-1. Why don't you try it? Why don't you try it just the rest of the year? If you're not part of a small group, just go and see one of the pastors. Ask them, how can I, just point me, I live in such and such, or I'm in this season of my life. You'll find there are people that just want to open their arms and welcome you into their world. See, there's a very clear command. It's in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, I'm going to put it on the screen for you. Hebrews 10, verse 24 to 25. I love this. The NIV says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. It's like being each other's cheerleader. Not giving up the meeting together, ready for this? as the habit, say habit, as the habit of, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, I don't know when Jesus is coming back. I don't know, all right? I get worried by Christians that do, because even Jesus said he doesn't know, but they seem to know more than the Savior, so we'll just leave that. All I know is we're closer now than we were ever before, right? But the writer of Hebrews says, listen, don't give up the gathering of yourselves together. Make it a priority to be in the house. Hey, come on. If you're in Hobart, make it a priority to be in that place early, week after week. It's a priority. He says, you know what? Some people are in the habit. That's a big word. Of making it less and less a priority. And you know what? Habits sneak up on you. Have you ever met anybody that said, you know what? I've been thinking about my life, and you know what? There's something missing. I think I need a nicotine addiction. That'd be good. Nobody set out to get a nicotine addiction. They just had one. Usually as a 14-year-old behind the toilets at school. If I start doing that, you'll think I know something about it. They just had one, and then another one, and then another one. And these days, I recently looked up the cost of a pack of cigarettes. You've got to mortgage your house to pay for a pack of smokes these days. And they're addicted. It's a terrible addiction. I feel sad for people because it's one of the hardest things to break. But nobody started out to have their life controlled by that addiction. They just drifted into it. The writer of Hebrews says you'll drift into the habit of poor church attendance if you're not careful. Oh, the weather's so-and-so. It's either really good, I'll go to the beach, or it's really bad, I'll stay in bed. And you know, just been thinking, you know, my kid's pretty good at sport, they're probably gonna play for Australia. Yeah, sure. Can I tell you something? Make this a priority. Read what happens in the scripture when you're planted in the house of God. You'll flourish in every season in life. Don't get in the habit of other things, other factors in your life determine. Make this a priority. And when we get together, the writer of Hebrews says you need to be doing something. What does it say? Encouraging. Oh, that word's important. EN, my English teacher told me, EN means into. Put courage into one another. Encourage each other. Speak life, speak faith, speak hope into one another in Jesus' name. Encouraging one another, cheering each other on in Jesus' name. You remember that nicotine ad? Man, there's a theme. Don't think I've got a problem. I got lots of problems. That's not one of them. But there was a product that could actually help you apparently get over nicotine. Remember that ad? And the people all used to say, go, Gary, go. Remember that? You do, yeah. Well, did you need it? No? No, okay. Go, you know, and I just reckon we need to be a church that's got that go, Gary, go factor, don't you? Is there a Gary in the room, by the way? Is there anybody in the room called Gary? Is there anybody in South called Gary? All right. See, you know, Gary just needs encouragement. See, he's not even here today. He needs to be encouraged. You need to ring him up and say, hey, go, Gary, go. If Gary gave his life to Jesus, what would we be saying? Go, yes. And Gary comes up to one of the pastors and said, I read that you've got to get baptized. And you hear Gary's getting baptized. What would you say? And then Gary says, do you know something? I want to join a life group because I want to grow in the Word. We'd say, yes. And whether it's Gary or John or Bill or Mary or Joyce, I don't care. We got to encourage each other, not criticize each other, not judge one another. No, something happens in an environment of encouragement. You know, there's a guy in the New Testament called Barnabas. That's his nickname, people. It's not even his real name. You know why he got the name? Because he was just so encouraging. He took literally a terrorist by the name of Saul when people were scared of him, and he introduced him to the followers of the way, it was called in those days. And eventually, through the encouragement of Barnabas, which by the name, his name means Mr. Encouragement. Don't you wish you got around a group of people called Mr. and Mrs. Encouragement? Ms. Encouragement, whatever their pronoun is. Encouragement. Oh, something. Can I tell you, when you're in that kind of an environment, anything happens, they devoted themselves to this. I want to be part of a church where people are devoted to Jesus. Our first love, but oh, I tell you what, with the same energy we're devoted to each other, something happens in those environments. The other thing it says about, and they were generous. Verse 45, this is not communism, by the way. This is true kingdom community. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. I wrote in my journal the other day, selflessness expresses itself in many ways. Generosity may be its number one trait. Generosity. See, it transcends tithing, which I believe is Christianity 101. I'm not interested in a discussion or a debate about whether tithing is for New Testament people. Jesus simply said, when you tithe. In other words, hey, it's a given. All right? Don't ask your pastors to pray for financial miracles if you don't practice biblical stewardship. Because God responds to faith, not magic. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You want the windows of heaven to open? Read how it happens. And we bring our tithe first to the storehouse, not to some other ministry we found online. We bring it to the house so there's enough so we can actually do all the things God's called us to do. To not only see this house strong, but I believe the greatest gift to the community is a healthy church where we can be strong. He says tithes and offerings, and I think there's something we can do in mission and in all kinds of other great things for Jesus, but I also think there's something that even goes beyond that, just when you live a generous life. Just a generous life. I think the worst prayer a Christian can pray in this space is, oh God, I just want to stay humble, so just give us enough for I, me, and my to get through to the next paycheck because we don't want to be proud. I've met proud people that are poor. State of your heart, not the size of your wallet. Come on. I want to be blessed so I can be a blessing. I want Malachi 3. I want the windows of heaven to open so that I'm actually receiving blessing I can't contain. Because as a follower of Jesus, I shouldn't contain it. Because God so loved, hey, God so loved that he gave. You see, you can't love without giving. And as a child of God, my life is just driven by this desire to bless. And that's what happened here. They shared everything. It's incredible. This is how they lived. They said, if you have a need and I have something I don't need, I'm going to give it to you so that your need is met. Wow. I have a very close friend of mine. He constantly gives away cars. And guess what? Guess what he keeps getting back? See, Bible tells me, give and it will be given. I kind of had this feeling. My theology says what you give, the seed you give, actually that's the fruit you'll get back. Just continually giving away. He finds about a pensioner couple. He sees a single parent that's got a need, a young person that's doing uni. Oh, you need a car? There you go. It's fully serviced, fully registered. They're safe. It's just amazing. I want to live that kind of life. See, their hearts were open to the Lord. But you know what happens when your heart opens to the Lord? Your hand opens to your brother and sister. I want to be part of a community like that. The next one is unity. We've got to go through this. Unity. I firmly believe that unity is one of the most significant prerequisites for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Case in point, where we are, chapter 2, and they were all together in one accord. Right? And what happened? There was a sound of a rushing wind. But before the wind, there were hearts that were united. The writer of Psalm 133, how good and pleasant it is where we dwell together in. Say it in every sight, where we dwell together in. Because there, that's where God commands his blessing. What is the blessing? The blessing is the outpouring of fresh oil that starts at the head, runs down to the very edge and off the edge of the clothes of the priest. Everyone everywhere is touched by the fresh work of the Spirit of God when we dwell together in unity. See, I believe God can do anything, but I believe he does his best things when our hearts are clean and our hearts are united. And can I tell you something? You and I are in the middle of a fresh miracle on this 100-year-old church. And one of the reasons is we have decided to connect our hearts. We won't agree on everything. Some things don't matter. Not all of you cheer for the Brisbane Lions. That's your problem, not mine. Not all of us agree about some things, but you know what? We all agree that Jesus is Lord. We all agree that his word is true. We all agree that the Father is gracious. We all believe the Holy Spirit is here. We all agree on the big stuff, right? And our hearts are united. Let's not get caught up in the little stuff. Let's not get caught up and held back by offense. All that negative stuff. See, there's few places on earth like the church when people are fully devoted to Jesus and fully devoted to each other. They were in unity. Community doesn't just happen. Doesn't just happen by walking in a building. Community happens when we make deliberate decisions to love each other in Jesus' name, to work at our communication, at being family. Ready? I'm going to give you some big words. Here we come. At being tolerant. Don't look sideways, look straight ahead. Being tolerant of each other. You know, in Galatians 5, there's a list of the fruit of the Spirit. 9 in all. It's interesting, there's 9 gifts of the Spirit, 9 fruit of the Spirit. I kind of think we shouldn't see the gifts without the fruit because it gets scary. And we know the big three. What are the big three? The fruit of the Spirit are love. And, right. You know the next one after the big three, love, joy, and peace? Ready for it? What is it?
Patience.
Yeah, the New King James calls it long-suffering. When Lynn reads it, there's about 5 O's. Long. So, and she looks at me. You see, because if you're going to be my brother or my sister, you're going to need doses of long suffering. Because I got foibles and I got quirky. I'm special in a special kind of way. And my personality and all that. If you're going to be in unity with me without the eye rolls, there he goes again. You're just going to love me for who I am. You're going to need the fruit of the Spirit at work. You're going to need that. And when we are in that kind of love and kindness and tolerance of each other, there's something attractive in this somewhat individualized, me-first world, that there's something that's attractive about it. You know, how many of you like just have been so inspired by The Chosen? The Chosen, you've seen that? I'm up to series 5 at the moment. It's Lynn's and my Monday night tradition. And this week just gone, it was at the Last Supper, and it's pretty special, pretty moving. And Jesus got his disciples with him. And here's a couple of lines from what Jesus is saying. His mission on earth, as far as those 3 years of earthly ministry, are almost coming to an end. And it's going to come to the crescendo of the cross and the empty tomb. And you know, I said there's those laws of first mention, but we also need to take heed of the laws of the last mention, some of the last things Jesus says to them. Let me give you one of them. John 13. This is a new command I give you. What is it? Read it out loud with me. Love one another. Right? Not just, oh yeah, I love you. Some Christians tell me they love me, but they don't like me. But Jesus loved with an unconditional love. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Listen to this. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples. How? If you have love one for another. John 13, verse 34 to 35. This is how they'll know. It's number one. Wow. And the next thing that I find is, as we're gonna get close to closing in a minute, with sincerity. Look at verse 46. Every day, wow. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together. Look at this, with glad and sincere hearts. The New King James says, and with simplicity of heart. You know what I wrote in the margin of my Bible? Don't overcomplicate things. Don't overcomplicate things. See, when you read through the chapters that follow in the book of Acts, you know what you discover? They're in unity, but they had to work through some issues. Theological issues, like how do Jews and Gentiles work together for the cause of the kingdom of God? Practical issues. The Greek widows were hungry and you don't want them angry. They're missing out on the food distribution. They had to work through all these kind of issues. You see, in kingdom community, new covenant community, listen to this. We work through issues, not around them. We have honest conversations. We have kind conversations. We listen before we talk. We work it through. They found these solutions. And the kingdom of God advanced. See, what we're sharing about here, church, is it's counterculture. Do you know why? It's kingdom culture. Secular world knows nothing of this. Comes from being part of God's big family. And I think authentic community is part of God's solution for the human condition. I really do. You know, one of my majors at uni was in sociology. And I'm always intrigued by human behavior. And more and more as our 21st century unfolds, it seems that the human race is longing for community. They just don't know how to define it and how it works. But the church has been here for 2,000 years. And it's God's antidote for what I believe is society's greatest ill at the moment. You know what society's greatest ill is? It's not crime. It's loneliness. It's loneliness. And we, the church, we have the ability to bring the message of hope through Jesus, but we have the ability to bring the wonder of belonging through community. When people discovered Jesus, the head, and his body, the church, you know something? Wow, miracles happen all around. When we're standing together in unity, in love, in Jesus' name. You know what we're meant to do, the Bible tells me? Bear one another's burdens, not judge them. You know, I've got some burdens. I actually brought a big burden today. I got a burden. And I'm struggling to carry. In fact, Pastor Joe, would you come up, please? Just come up here, right up here. You're my burden. My burden's big. That's don't take that personally. My burden's big. And you know what? I'm moderately fit. But I can't carry that burden. And that burden won't go away. But Cain, bring six strong men with you right now. Those guys there. You guys here. Come on up, come on up. You guys here, quickly, come on up here. See, I can't bear this burden. I try to pretend that burden isn't there. Camera on the floor, please. Camera on the floor. Look at that burden. It's a big burden. And I've tried and tried, but could you guys help me? Could you carry that burden? Could you get rid of that burden in my life? See, that burden, yeah, all the way. Get rid of it. I never want to see that burden ever again. I couldn't do it on my own. But you know what? I was just looking at some very, very sad data just this week of the number of Australians that have taken their own life. You know why? They can't bear the burden of divorce and unemployment and their addiction and their past. If only they knew there was a covenant community within a few K's of them, just one phone call away. Hey, we'll carry it for you. We'll carry it with you. We're in trouble, people. We've never been a more lonely society than we are today. Some recent surveys I just read. One in the USA says that the greatest threat to public health in America is loneliness. It's far greater than obesity. Bring it into our country. In 2023, this is what they found. 1 in 3 Australians is lonely. And can I tell you something? We were told technology will fix this. If technology fixed it, why are the greatest users of social media the loneliest group in Australia, the 18 to 25 year olds? Statistically proven. They're scrolling for hours and they've got hundreds of Facebook friends and no one to talk to. A few weeks ago, I spoke at our own combined youth in Brisbane. A few hundred young people came together and I spoke at a youth rally. And lots of them gave their lives to Jesus, and that was wonderful. But you know the thing that I took away at the end? When it was all done and they were about to jump on their buses to go back to the different sites all across our ministry, there was a line, as far as you can imagine, of young people, 14, 15, that just wanted to talk to me. But driving home, I said, Lynn, it's because I represent their granddad. I represent somebody that could just, with a bit of gray hair, that could listen. Can I tell you, that's why we need multi-generational churches. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We need each other. Come on, Brett, join us here on stage and bring the team. Each location, stay with us for a minute, please. Society's in trouble, but our Father has a solution. Psalm 68, listen to what it says of him. He's a father to the fatherless. He's a defender of the widow. That's our God in his holy dwelling. This is what it says. He sets the lonely in families. You know what the families are all around planet Earth? Local churches. All over the place where there's mums and dads and brothers and sisters and all and everything in between where we can just encourage each other. As we close, I like what happens. Look at verse 43. Here's the consequence for that community. Can I tell you something? In whatever Numa site you are watching this, and whether you're watching it online and you've been thinking, I tapped out of church for a little while, but something's stirring in my heart to get back into the house, you're going to be welcomed, you're going to be loved. Because in verse 43 of that chapter 2 of Acts, this is what happened. Everyone was filled with awe. Remember being at the show or some fireworks display when you're a kid? Oh. That's the Greek origin. Oh. You never know what could happen. Oh. They're filled with awe. Then it goes on and says, wonders and signs, miracles were normal. You see, I have a strong conviction that Christ-like relationships position the church for Spirit-empowered ministry. They were praising God and enjoying favor of all the people. And surely this has got to be our mission. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. People were turning to faith in Jesus. Can I ask you a question, church? Is that not what we all want? The breathtaking presence of God. Bodies healed. Chains broken. Men and women and boys and girls finding Jesus every time we gather. Surely that's what we want. Then I wonder if the fulfilling of the Great Commission doesn't start with fulfilling the Great Commandment. Love the Lord your God and love each other. In every sight, we're going to pray for each other. In a moment, I'm going to hand back to your location pastors. But before we do, I'm going to ask you, wherever you're actually dialed into this, if you would stand in the city, in every other sight. Come on, if you're in Hobart, would you stand? If you're in the west and the south, would you stand? Singapore, stand. If you can, I want you just to stay with us for a minute. Because I'm about to ask you, no matter who you are, no matter how old you are, where you've come from, the most important question anybody could ever be asked. It's quite simply, are you in a right relationship with God? Have you ever made Him your Father so that you can then become part of His family? I'm going to ask you that in a moment. But I'm going to ask each of us across this room, would you bow your head? Have you been a little jaded by church? Have you let things interfere with just the state of your heart and just your participation in Jesus-focused community? I can't answer this question for you, but let me just ask you. Do you think, in all honesty, are you still devoted the things that matter to Jesus? Are you generous? Have you kept your faith simple, sincere? Are there things that have got in the road of you being in unity with others in your row or others in another side or others in another part of the building or others that aren't here anymore? We do this often when we gather. Whether you want to open your hands before the Lord or place your hand on the heart that's actually carrying a bit of residue. I think each of us, maybe it's one and one. Maybe some of us have just been a little slack regarding just being in the house. Maybe some of us have just dialed back in our commitment to serve the Lord and serve others. Maybe this is one or two things the Lord's been speaking to you about. Maybe you've been carrying your burdens alone way too long. Maybe you've been lonely and today you've discovered there's a key and there's a cure to that. It's the family of God. Some of us just need to place a hand on our heart and say, God, there's some stuff here that you just need to just gently and lovingly and graciously just take away. Others just need to say, God, here I am. I want to be part of this dynamic. I want to be part of what you're doing. Beyond the name on the door of this place, I want to be part of a new covenant community and I want to be a dynamic contributor to it. So our prayer simply, Father, is your kingdom come. Your will be done here, here, on earth as it is in heaven. And we commit, Lord, to creating environments of love, of grace, of kindness, of being a Psalm 133 church where you can command a blessing. Oh, Holy Spirit, I just sense you so graciously moving in our midst right now. So graciously and yet so wonderfully. You're touching hearts. You're touching some of us, Lord, that are just turned off a number of things. We've even stopped trusting you in the area of finance. And there are some in this room right now. There are some in different sites. And so, some of us are really challenged to open the scriptures again and put Jesus first and Lord over our finances. If you seek first the kingdom, hey, let me tell you, the other things are added. But make him first in everything. So I bless you today. I bless you today. I pray for renewal. I pray for healing. I pray for just the gentle showers of heaven to be upon your heart so they're soft before God and soft before each other. In Jesus' name. Each location pastor's going to give you an invitation, my friend. It's a hand back to them. We're going to invite people in a moment. Some need a miracle in their body. Others need miracle in other areas of their lives. But the greatest miracle of all. In fact, I'm going to ask this question before your location pastor does it. I just so sense that this is the moment for some of us. Bible says today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Not this is a moment. Hearts, some of you have been searching. You walked into a building and you're on a search, a spiritual search, and you were looking for life and looking for love and looking to get rid of the mistakes and the consequences of your past. There's only one place where you'll find that level of forgiveness and power. It's through Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, that loved us so much that he sent his son, not only to show us a great way to live, but to die instead of us for the penalty of our mistakes we call sin. He died. They put him in a tomb, but he didn't stay there. They went looking for him. And the Bible says on the third day they were looking, they said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here because he's risen. And the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is here right now. It's the power of the Spirit of God. And knocking on hearts and inviting you into the family of God. You've been searching, your search is over. You haven't found religion, you've found Jesus. And I wonder how many across this room right now, wonder how many across each site, your pastors are there praying for you. They're praying that when you get this opportunity, you will say yes. And maybe you don't know how to put it into all these words, but your heart's saying, this is what you're looking for. For the first time in your life, or the first time after a long time of being away, you say, I'm ready. I'm ready to say yes. I want to come to God. I want to come back. That's you. I'm going to count to three. We're not going to drag this out because, hey, we've been talking about conviction today. You know what you're looking for. And across this ministry, on a screen, in this room right now, I'm going to count to three. If that's you, say, you know, that's what I've been looking for. I want God to come and change my life from the inside out. I want to be part of his family. You know that's what you're looking for. That's you. I'm going to pray for every person that raises their hand. Are you ready? One, two, three. If that's you, wonderful. Hands are going up straight away. All across this room. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Wherever you are in any site right now, raise your hand and hold it up high enough so the team, hey, what you're just doing right now is not the end. It's just the beginning and people want to cheer you on. Go, Gary, go. They want to cheer you on in your faith. If you raise your hand, what I want you to do, I want you to, probably beside you is a follower of Jesus. I want you to nudge them. They're going to pray with you right now. And with your other hand, I want you to place it upon your heart. Your location pastor is going to tell you how we'll help you, but they can't do what you're doing right now. It's inviting God to change your life from the inside out. So I pray for you that you would know God's extravagant love. You would know his amazing grace. You'd know his forgiveness that breaks every chain of shame, sin, and regret. You know his acceptance into his great big family. And I bless you. I bless you. And I pray this wouldn't just be an emotional moment, but the start of a life where you know Jesus, Lord, for the rest of your days. And we agree with that. And we all said, amen. All across this ministry, would you just praise God for lives that have just said yes to Jesus?